Remember to show us some support and leave a comment or iTunes review. Have a project you'd like to promote? Contact us. KillTheDeadPodcast@gmail.com.
Welcome back to the Kill the Dead podcast. I'm your host, Ray. Tonight I'm joined by my internet co-host, Brandon and Ash.
Hello.
What's up, what's up?
And returning for a three-peat, we also have the infamous blogger of I Need You, Jesse, Devin.
Hello, everybody. Infamous, I like that.
I decided to put a little umph into the intro this time.
Makes you sound controversial.
We are back again this week. We have a new subject topic. We are returning to our top five. This time we're going over our favorite remix. So we're going to go over some of our favorites, as well as maybe a couple of bonus non-favorites. We'll see if we get there. But first, Ash, what's good?
I'm trying to get over this sickness. Yeah, I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah, not much, just working. Getting over the sickness. I've been trying to catch up on some horror movies, like try to watch some classics. I've been, Rabbit is on Shudder, so I watched that not too long ago. Can't wait for the remake of that.
The original one?
Yes.
I don't know why. I just assumed you were talking about the Suska sisters, even though I'm sure there would have been an announcement if it really came out. But I've not seen the Cronenberg version in forever.
Yeah, it's on Shudder. I was like, perfect timing because I've been looking all over for it, and then it was on Shudder.
Sweet, I have nurse.
You nasty. I was waiting for you to say something. I was waiting. I have yet to watch the new season of Sabrina. I'm sorry, I'm lacking. But yeah, that's about it. What about you, Devin?
I've been enjoying this New Jersey spring. We had like a 75 degree weather day. So with that, I'm not trying to sit in the house and watch so many horror movies as I've been doing all winter. But I did buy a book this week, The Stepford Wives. It was a novel before it became a movie, and I've been hearing a lot of great things about the novel on a different podcast, so it motivated me to go ahead and buy it. So far, so good. It's really different from the movie. Much more nuanced in the movie, of course. And other than that...
That was Ira Levin?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Who also gave us Sliver. Remember that movie?
That's where I was going with that next. That's the only reason I know. Oh, wait, and Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, yep. A little movie. Yeah. So, I've heard of it before, yeah. But yeah, other than that, that's about it. And I've been continuing my Schitt's Creek marathon on that. What about you, Brandon?
So for me, besides the fact that I got some new ink, stunt that really hard, go check it out on my Instagram, my personal Instagram. Anyways, like I was saying, besides the fact I got some new ink, I finished Leon's story in Resident Evil 2. It was phenomenal. Everything I ever dreamed of. So now I'm playing through Claire's story, which is just a whole another adventure. I picked up a book. It's a psychological thriller. It gives you a little... once again, it's one of those books where it fucks with your head more than anything else. It's Supermarket by Robert Hall, Bobby Hall, a.k.a. The rapper Logic. Great book. Still reading through Metro 2033. Just trying to keep myself as busy as possible. Oh, I also started watching Ash vs. the Evil Dead again.
I never watched the final season of that. Like, I refuse to acknowledge that happened.
Why?
Was it a bad show?
No, I thought it was great. Good for Bruce Campbell on being able to make this happen and putting up with it. I assume the money just wasn't worth the physicality of being that old and playing Ash. But I never read up on it. I'm just making that part up.
I never, like, I just started, like, last month because my friend's like, you have to watch it, you have to watch it. You like the movies, you have to watch it. And I was like, I don't know. So now I'm watching it, and it's beautiful.
I do enjoy it. Lucy Lawless has appeared on screen by now for you?
Yes.
I did enjoy her whole portrayal of that character. So that is a finer point of the series.
I mean, so far the whole series is going great. But that's really all that's been going on with me. Let's hear from Gray, because Gray seems to always have something interesting going on. If he says he did nothing this weekend, I'll be like, you lied.
I wish I had something more impressive to tell you. I did not do much, as I just got back to Austin. So it was a bunch of boring laundry type things, house chores. Oh, wait, no. Sorry, blank. I did go see a French film called A Slut in a Good Way. It premiered, I am told, at Fantastic Fest last year. It's the story of this young 17-year-old French girl who becomes, I don't know if this is the right term, I'm fucking old, but let's say sex positive. I don't want to offend people out there. I'm not trying to put someone in a box or anything like that. But she decides that it's okay to have as many sexual partners as she cares to have. At some point, the character realizes that maybe that wasn't a good idea. And then, you know, she grows from there. But I enjoy the whole film. I don't know what it's like to be a 17-year-old French girl, but I feel like it was a good representation of maybe some 17-year-old French women. So I really enjoyed that. And then obviously I rewatched Pet Sematary and tried to start Sabrina, but I'm trying not to go too fast with that. I'm trying to pace it out because basically I think we're lucky that we got a season two so quickly, but I don't think season three is going to happen this year. So I'm trying to make Sabrina last. But so far, so good. I really liked what they're doing this season. I'm not sure. Well, Ash, obviously you don't know yet, but when you get there, we'll talk about it.
Yes, I can't wait.
Last episode, we started to get into the March Madness, and depending on when you're hearing this episode, that part might not make any sense. But the tournament concluded for us last night, so in honor of that, we're going to conclude our tournament right now. Who knows when you're really listening to this, but this was present day at the time that it happened. From the last time, we had quite a matchup leaving The Thing versus, I guess, let's say representing the East.
Ooh, getting fancy.
We had Mary Lou from Prom Night versus The Thing. Mary Lou, unanimously, I said that word wrong. She won by a long slide. How's that? And then representing the horror side, Southeast. We had Patrick Bateman and Reagan go head-to-head, and Patrick pervade the victor. And then representing the Northwest, we had Blade versus Billy and Jigsaw. And, of course, Blade won. That's not even a competition.
Exactly.
Then representing the South. Nope. North, South. Fuck. West, South. Someone help me out.
Southwest.
I'm horrible at geography.
These directions were a bad idea. We had Victor Crowley versus The Print Is Too Small. Does anyone remember who that was? Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie. And
Victor won. So currently the lineup open for the victors. First, we're going to take care of the East Conference with Mary Lou versus Patrick Bateman. And I like that they both have two names. Brandon, what are your thoughts?
It's Patrick fucking Bateman. Literally. Like, do I need to say more?
Well, I think it's interesting, right? Because he doesn't have any supernatural powers. And would you say that the supernatural is not enough to overtake him?
It's not. It's definitely not. Supernatural or not, let's say this. Patrick Bateman is supernatural in a way because the man's fucking smart with how he does things. Very intelligent. So I'll give him that. That's his little supernatural power. I feel like he would outsmart. I feel like he would come out on top. Enough said.
Actually, that's a very interesting point because it's kind of the way I was leaning. But before I divulge everything, Devin, tell us what you think.
Between Patrick Bateman and Carrie?
Mary Lou.
Or Mary Lou. Boy. I think last time I said Mary Lou would win, but I'm going to recant that and change my mind. I'm going to say that it's going to be Patrick Bateman because he's very suave. He's very persuasive. He has a way with the ladies. He can play into Mary Lou's insecurities and overpower her before she has a chance to, you know, use her superpowers to defeat him. So my money's on Patrick.
I guess I'll go ahead and chime in as well. I believe Patrick as well. Same theory, actually, is playing off her insecurities. There is no shortage of ego with Patrick. And Mary Lou could find herself very vulnerable, and that's when he would strike. But Ash, if you want to put the final nail in the coffin or give us a difference of opinion.
Reagan. I'm just kidding. I'm Patrick all the way. There's no need for me to repeat anything else that y'all said. So, yeah, Patrick.
All right. So Patrick Bateman defeats Mary Lou and takes the East Conference. Moving on to the one that's going to make me sad no matter which way this goes. We have Blade, the Daywalker, versus Victor Crowley, the Revenant, for the West Conference. Devin, the ball goes to you first.
I'm going to go with Blade.
Mark, was that a Blade with the emphasis of maybe?
I've only seen one of the Blade movies, so I can't remember.
Oh my God. Oh no.
Reverse.
No, we're not doing this again.
You only
seen
one?
We're not doing this again.
Now, which one did you see?
Part two.
Huh? You didn't see the OG? Okay.
No, I didn't. It's in my queue. I just haven't seen it yet.
Part two's not a bad way to get in because it's like most people go back and watch the original and it still holds up. And then when you see the original and then watch the Trinity, you're not that disappointed. So I think Blade 2 might be a good entry point.
Yeah. Either that or Blade Trinity. Either one. I'm going to go with Blade over Victor Crowley because doesn't Blade have some sort of supernatural power?
He's half vampire. That's no supernatural power that anyone needs.
But he's destructible, though, right? But
yeah, he's basically an ancient vampire. So it's not like he's just your regular.
Think about it like Dracula.
Dracula was a bitch.
Watch Castlevania, then call Dracula a bitch.
I'm going to change it real quick. Have you guys seen the promo for the new show? Nosferatu, the TV show?
Yes.
No, I didn't know there was one. Oh.
Brandon, I can't wait to hear what you have to say, so we're going to save you for last. Ash, what are your thoughts?
Yes. I'm going to go with Victor. He gives zero fucks. He is just gruesome. Like, he does not care. Like, he will rip Blade in half. So that's all I have to say. Like, he just don't care. Like, he's just ruthless for no reason. I mean, he has his reasons, but yeah, I'm going to go with Victor.
Now, see, for me, they're both the undead. They both can be reborn. So the one thing I'm wondering, that which has never really been... Victor Crowley can be destroyed, but can he be hurt? Blade can be hurt, and he can be controlled. So there's a weakness there. But I'm not sure if it was just blow for blow, no regeneration, who would take that? Because Blade's going to get weak at some point, right? He needs blood. Victor doesn't have any. So I think in the long haul, Victor Crowley would eventually win. But not just a regular 10-minute fight. I mean, hands down, toe-to-toe, blowout. Victor Crowley eventually is going to wear Blade out. Now for the response we've all been waiting for.
Okay. Whew. I'm good. I had to, like, read through the way the Ash just shut it down. But, you know, now that we're over that, we're going to be mature about this, I'm going to say Blade. And here's why I say Blade. Now, don't get me wrong, Victor Crowley has no blood. Victor Crowley's cold-blooded killer. He's fucking nuts. Dude's fucking psycho. However, look at what Blade is trained to do. Take out supernatural things. That's exactly what Victor Crowley is. Now, Graham made a great point. Blade can be hurt. Blade can be controlled. But can Blade really die? We don't know that. Victor Crowley, he can die, but he's going to come back eventually. Now, like, when we say long haul, I'm talking, like, if this was, like, drawn out by, like, years and years and years, Victor Crowley's going to win, because guess what? He's just going to keep on coming back. Eventually, Blade hits a point where he won't come back, number one. However, Blade would still win, because, yes, we're under the understanding that Victor Crowley can be killed. Blade is trained to kill these types of things. So Blade would kill him. No problem. It's just the fact that he would keep coming back. So, but regardless, I got to support my boy Blade.
Well, unfortunately, that means we're at a draw, and that can't happen. So I will excuse myself and put this to a mythical coin toss in the method of you guys pick a number, all three of you. Actually, you could pick two numbers, either number one or number three. And then I will reveal the results. So on the count of three, you guys say it at the same time. So it's one, two, three, then go.
Okay.
So are you guys ready? One, two, three.
Three.
What the hell?
Three.
Three. Unfortunately, that means Victor Crowley won. Basically, I took the C in his name and the A in Blade. Was one, three was C, alphabetical order, in case you guys are wondering how I decided that. Well, so that leads us to the main event, which is Patrick Bateman versus Victor Crowley. Again, I like the first name, last name thing going again. I'll just fucking say it. I don't see how Patrick's going to win this.
Yeah.
Victor all the way.
Yeah, I mean, Victor. Yeah.
All right, folks, there you have it. The results of our first March Frightness. Victor Crowley takes the championship.
I'm going to know basketball Blade. Terms.
Blade is second runner-up. He still gets a trophy, just like everyone else.
So many trees.
It's beautiful, right?
It's definitely not Boston.
Here we go. Okay, so, what do you think?
Wow, this whole place is ours?
I even got him to throw in a whole forest as a new backyard.
It was a myth. Kids used to dare each other to go into the woods at night. They knew the power of that place. They feared it. Those woods belong to something else. Ground is bad.
Guard!
Maybe just some crazy folk tale. But there is something up in those woods. Something that brings things back. Sometimes dead is better.
I think pretty much the world is aware that this weekend Pet Sematary released, and that is the remake of Pet Sematary. So Pet Sematary 2019, let's just say that. And I really should bet on this, and I do not remember the director's names, but I know it is a pair of men. Anyone want to save me?
Kevin Kolsch and Dennis Widmeyer.
Okay. I'm going to go with Devin on this one because Brandon, you said, oh no.
We'll take the final one.
All right. So, Pet Sematary, for those of you who've never seen the 1988 film, someone could check me on that too, or the 1981 novel, Reddit, obviously. The story is about a doctor and his wife moving to the country. Or not even the country. I don't know what Maine looks like. I just went to Boston for the first time in my life what, 2 weeks ago? So I don't know if it all looks like that. The part I saw was pretty industrious and city-like, so whatevs. Anyway, it's Stephen King's reinterpreted work yet again. Follows the doctor, his wife, his children. They move to the someplace so he can start a new clinic, and they discover that part of their property is a mysterious burial ground, aptly named Pet Cemetery. Jason Clark is Dr. Lewis. Amy Simetz as Rachel. John Lithgow as Judd, my favorite character ever. I do not know the little boy's name who played Gage, but I know the girl's name is Jetit Lawrence, because I was like, that's an interesting ass name.
Hugo Lavoie is Gage. Hugo and Lucas Lavoie.
You know, one day I'm just going to be computer savvy. I love it. Thank you, Ben. So, Devin, what were your initial impressions of this film and everything leading up to the hypes of remakes or taboo?
I am glad you added that last part. I have a lot to say. I enjoy the film. It broke away from the original source material, and I think the updates actually worked in this film. Unfortunately, a lot of it was spoiled in the trailer, but that's neither here nor there. I enjoyed it. My biggest problem with this movie is the fact that it was hyped up so much before its release. It premiered at a couple of festivals beforehand, and people are writing about how great this film is, how groundbreaking it is, and it's the scariest movie ever made, and it wasn't. And we went through this before with Annabelle Creation, where it's getting like 100% of all these movie measurements, and the people who have tickets to like South by Southwest or whatever conventions, they've seen this movie before, they overhype it. And the movie was fine, but the overhyping is what also killed some of the momentum for me.
I'm going to interject real quick and piggyback off what you're just saying. A little tip or trick that I've learned is that when a movie is released, or not released, let's say sneak preview or early release premiere, they only let verified people write a review. So it's one of those things of control. So if you're like, oh, well, you're my favorite writer, of course, be sure to say something middle of the road-ish, not too bad or whatever. So then you can control everything leading up to it. And then once the movie, whenever that release happens, then normal people like us can write and say, oh, the movie wasn't really that great, or the movie is okay, but this happened. So I dislike that dishonesty. Right.
So this happened before when the last Blair Witch movie came out. I'm not going to name the website, but there were a couple of websites. There was groundbreaking Blair Witch was, and how scary it was, changed the face of horror forever. And while Blair Witch was fine, it was none of those things. So that's just one thing about our community right now that I'm not a fan of this overhypeness of films, because you have access to see it before the general public.
Yeah, I think the Blair Witch was our generation of, you know, making, not light, taking advantage of people's ignorance, right? The internet was fairly new to the mainstream. So, like, no one's ever thinking, oh, we need to fact check this.
Right.
Like, it's
right.
Not real. I lived in Virginia, and I know friends of mine that went to Maryland looking for this thing. And it's like, oh, well, you went and bought a map, and you did whatever you could do, but you never thought to say, hey, let's just ask a government official or something. I'm not sure if you need a government official for the Blair Witch, but, you know, what, that machine in the library that keeps all the newspaper clippings, go look at one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt the fact that the actors were at the MTV Movie Awards a week after the movie came out.
That might solidify that it's not true.
Yeah.
But I will say, we would not have gotten Paranormal Activity if we didn't have Blair Witch. I forget the woman's name, but she went on to do that. And of course, we know Blumhouse did that, and that led to Blumhouse present day, essentially. I skipped a lot of movies in the middle.
It also led to Paranormal Activity, the Ghost Dimension.
I wasn't going to bring up any. Yeah, but I like what they tried. You know, regardless of how your project ends up, you know, you went for it. And sure. Today I've not made a single movie in my life. So actually, that's not true. It's three. But Brandon, your initial thoughts.
My initial thoughts is I actually thoroughly enjoyed it, more so than the original. Well, like, literally, it was like watching almost two different movies with some of the things that they did with it. However, I want to do just want to talk about how I absolutely loved the acting. The actors were on point with this movie. Yeah. And, I mean, that's really what got me, was just how good the acting was. Because I'm sitting here like, I already know how this goes. I've read the book, seen the previous movie. But then, like I said, there's some stuff where you're like, that's not how this is supposed to go. And then the actors, the way that they just all played their roles, it just made me super happy. Storyline-wise, I just thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie.
And Ash, your thoughts?
At first, I was kind of bored with it. And I was just like, okay, I don't know how I feel about it. But I agree with everybody so far. Like, it's a decent, in my opinion, it's a decent movie. I did like how they did like their little changes to it. I'm still confused on why they spoiled some of the parts in the previews. That part I'm still kind of like, why? The acting was great. I love John Lithgow, and I freaking love the cat. Like, I know when they first, like, announced, like, they showed the picture of the cat, everybody's like, no, that's not Church. Why is Church long hair? Why is Church this, that? I freaking love that cat. And that cat showed up to the movie awesome. Premiere with a tie. Okay? that made me love him even more.
I forget number, but it was like 5 or 7 cats they used.
Yeah. So
shout out to all the cats that worked on this film.
Y'all are the real MVPs here.
Exactly. Y'all killed it.
They may be paying with some fancy piece every day.
But yeah, like, the movie overall, it was enjoyable. I like some of the changes that they made, especially like with the ending of it. But yeah, I had my issues here and there with it, but I still enjoyed it. So you great.
I'm going to make this update thing a real thing. So I'm just going to keep preaching it. I enjoy sometimes when there's an update and someone gives their interpretation of someone else's work. For decades now, I guess I'm sad to say that I've been alive, we have things that come back and someone else takes a stab at it. Not everyone nails it. I think that this is a pretty good interpretation all around. People who have never seen the original or never read the book or even know it's a book, I think that they'll be fine. And going back to what you said about spoiling the trailers, I think that for us, yeah, that sucks. But for people who know nothing about the movie, they don't know what they saw. Right. Other than people on the internet are saying, you spoiled it for everyone. And again, that's what I think movie theaters are preying on, is the people who don't watch these films traditionally. And so it's something for them. And they'll be scared. I remember the original one. Scared the shit out of me. I never wanted to put my foot down out of any bed, walk up any steps, because I knew a scalpel was coming at some point. Like, Gage was real. That's not a spoiler. That's the original film for people who don't get that reference. But with spoilers being said, I think we can just move into spoilers. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the film.
Go ahead, Ash.
Oh, no. I was just going to bring up the fact that, like, in the remake, they had Ellie get killed instead of Gage, like in the original.
Yeah, so swapping the kids out was pretty much the thing that broke the internet the day the trailer came out. What are your opinions towards it?
It was different, but I kind of want to see Gage in it, because I can't really say much, because I'm like, I don't know. Like, Gage was just so creepy and all that stuff. But, I mean, the little girl was creepy, too. I don't know. I just would like to know, like, what was their thought process behind, like, the whole switch. Like, what made them switch it? Because I never read the book. In the book, it was Gage, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I were to take my amateur super sleuth a stab at it, I think it's just because you can do more with an older kid. Like, yeah. The scene where Ellie is fighting, that shit was brutal. Like, about a little 8 to 10 year old girl, I forget how old she's supposed to be, doing that type of stuff to a grown ass person. I don't know why I'm talking around it. Spoiler, she picks the shit out of her dad. And I thought that was a perfect. Like, Gage could never do that. He was too small.
And especially you're not this, fair.
This Gage is not even making real words.
No, and he was supposed to be like, what, 2-3 years old or something like that?
Yeah, he should be able to form sentences, not just one word.
I like the change of switching him from Gage to Ellie. Just because she's older, you're able to relate to her a little bit more. So when she gets killed and then brought back to life, spoiler alert, you're able to, it's a little bit more of an emotional toll it takes on the audience. And I gotta say, when she was alive as a regular happy-go-lucky girl, she was fine, but when she was brought back to life, I thought she gave such a creepy, disturbing performance.
Right. Yeah. Especially when they just, the makeup wise, where they just made her eye slightly wonky.
Yes. Like, that was freaking
me out.
Like when she was like going to bed, like when she was laying down, she had her eyes are closing, like one is just like not closing.
Yeah. And then, you know, obviously she decayed a little bit more, like the makeup got deeper as her scenes progress as undead Ellie. The thing I liked the third act. I liked what it did with it. The thing that I'm not sure if I cared for, or not cared for, the thing that messed me up is this version of Zelda. I don't know why, if it was just because I was a kid and it just was this jarring, but I really, 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 really like this Zelda. And that was why I rewatched the other one the other night, because I was like, I gotta go see the other Zelda again, because I don't remember all this. And obviously it was different the way they did it. But this Zelda's definitely creepier.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want that dumbwaiter to open. Like, it was getting to me.
And that's, like, one of the parts that, like, makes me, I was, like, really looking forward to in this remake was Zelda. I was like, okay, we're, like, it's 2019, like, we have better technology, you can do more with CGI, all that stuff. I want to know what they're going to do with this version of Zelda. And, yeah, I'm satisfied. I'm good. Still creep me out like in the original. I'm good on that.
Yeah. Even Church was scary in this one.
Yeah!
Were people really complaining that he's a long-haired cat?
Yes, yes, they were. Yes.
My gosh.
People are petty nowadays. They just complain about everything.
Please get a job, people.
That is their job. I believe Cat Williams said it best. Haters gotta hate.
I guess so.
That is their only job in life.
The only issue I had with the film was the pacing in the first two-thirds of the film. Mm-hmm. I thought it felt slow. We knew they were developing characters and their in the background, the story backgrounds. It felt slow. And then when the third act happened, it happened so fast. Where the final shot, which I really, really enjoyed the last third of the movie, but it was over pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But,
so how did y'all feel about John Lithgow?
I would like to have seen more terror.
Sorry.
I've seen a lot of screenshots of comparisons of his performance versus the original performance, and I can't think of the actor's name. I'm going to hell.
Del Midkoff.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. My brain's not with me today. But I thought he did a great job bringing his own version of Judd. I still like original Judd as well. Like, there's no, like, to me, the both can exist in my world. I love them both. And it's a hard thing to do, because, you know, that's it, when it's such an iconic character. I mean, Fred Wynn, whenever he took on anything, like, I remember him as Herman Munster when I was a little kid. And I'm pretty sure that was all reruns. I don't know how long that show went on for. But, yeah, I grew up watching him. So then to watch him, another favorite of mine was My Cousin Vinny. He's the judge in that film. I want to say My Cousin Vinny came after Pet Sematary. So the fact that I saw Pet Sematary and I was still willing to watch a film he was in, I guess I was just watching everything, really. If you think about it, I shouldn't be watching either movie. They're probably rated R. Whatever. Didn't stop me. So, you know, my two cents. Brandon, we haven't heard much from you yet.
Okay, so all the spoilers have been said that I wanted to bring up. The one thing I wanted to emphasize, though, was the makeup job that they did. Me being someone who enjoys theater, enjoys special effects makeup, definitely. They show the decaying of, why am I blanking? Oh God, I'm being gray right now. Holy crap.
Oh, Ellie.
Oh yes, Ellie. So, the way they showed Ellie just decaying over time as the movie progresses, I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. And make note, I don't really enjoy paying attention. Well, I do love paying attention to all the small, tiny details, but that one was very, very important. It was very interesting to see how they portrayed it. And the fact that, you know, Dad got pieced up in that movie. Dad got pieced up so bad.
Yep.
Like, my heart broke for him. I was like, dang, you ain't ever going to discipline your kids ever again. You done lost all credibility. Because, like, that was an ass whooping. Like, damn. It was great.
My last bone to pick with this movie, and, you know, I'll give you all a chance to say your piece, was I felt as though if we were going to change up Pascal, which was a pretty permanent character in the original, and we went with a minority this time, why the fuck he still got to be the first one to die? Like, why couldn't he do anything else? So I think that was a missed opportunity. The only person of color in the whole film, and he definitely died first. And then you don't really use him. Like, Gage talks to him, but like I said before, Gage is not really making whole sentences, and it's kind of like I'm not sure where they were going with that.
Why did Gage see him? That didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I don't know either. Or I guess maybe just the mythos of ghosts being able to talk to the innocent type thing. That's a stretch. I'm reaching here.
Yeah, you hella reaching, bro.
But I'm just saying, like, for me, I would have rather have seen, like, Edward Furlong come back and play Pascal.
Oh, wow. Like,
cool. Just,
yeah.
So me, it would have been like, it doesn't matter what you did with the character, we got that little Easter egg. But, you know, what's done is done. Final thoughts, Ash.
I should appreciate this movie a little more. So maybe if I were to go see it a second time, I can, like, enjoy it more than I did the first time. And then, like, forgive me, I forgot the actor's name that played the father in this movie.
Jason Clarke.
Does he have, like, an accent in real life? Because to me, it seemed like his accent was popping out.
Yes, he's Australian.
Like, okay, yeah. I was about to say, so where are they from originally? Like, where is this set at? Like, his accent was just, like, popping out. Yeah. And that kind of, like, bothered me at first. I was just like, what can I do about it? But
you know who else does that to me sometimes? You guys ever watch the NBC show Blind Spot? Or used to be on NBC. I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Sullivan Stapleton, like, his accent pops out. And it's like, it takes me out of the moment every once in a while. Then it's like back in. It's like, okay. But it seems to me like, why didn't you just make him wherever he's from? Like,
right.
It's okay if people from the CIA or FBI or
foreign. Because that makes too much sense.
America. Brandon, your final thoughts.
My final thoughts is that, I mean, it's a solid movie. Of course, me being who I am, don't look at it as a oh, they remade this, or oh, they're going to reboot this. Look at it with a fresh set of eyes. It's great. It's phenomenal. I loved it.
Devin.
I enjoyed it. I give it maybe 2.5 stars out of 4. If you're a purist to the King's novel, which I haven't read, but if you're a purist to the novel or the original film, you're not going to like it. Fortunately, I'm not a purist, so I'm able to watch the movie with open eyes. I enjoyed some of the changes, but it's a solid film. It's a solid film.
You know, I high horse for a second here.
Oh, God.
I like to try and err people with the caution of the purpose of a book is to entertain. No one wants to read a book. Well, some people might if you're probably still in school. But adults who are buying a book for fun, let's say, you don't want to read a 100-page book. You're not going to feel satisfied. You want to get wrapped up into it. You want to involve it. So when you have, like, the original book where it has all this detail, it does all this explaining and develops all these characters – seemingly just for your personal entertainment. Movies can't do that. You only have an allotted time. For me and Devin, it's definitely, you go over 2 hours, we're wearing thin. So for any director to try and interpret someone else's work and condense it, it's hard. Like, I can't do it, you can't do it. And that's the thing we need to give directors from novel interpretations a little bit of slack. That being said, I think the film will do fine. Is it going to be a classic? Probably not. I think the original will still outweigh it. And it's not that I think either one is better than the other. I think this one's great for the people of today. And I'll still hold my childhood memory in my childhood. So it can be both for me. But if you have not seen it, go see it. And then, you know, let us know on social medias what you thought of it. Now that we're all good and warmed up talking about remakes, on to the main event. Top 5 Revenge of the Remakes. So we're going to go around and express, maybe in sequential order, maybe not in sequential order. We'll see how things go. Some of your favorite remakes that you think are better than the original. So Ash, you want to give us your first remake that you thought was better than the original?
Oh, Lordy. So should I start with like number 5 or go from number 1?
That's fine. We'll go least to best.
See, this list was tough. All right, okay, so number 5 on my list, I'm going to go with Suspiria. Yes. So you want me to like explain why I think it was better?
A little bit, you know, maybe explain the movie a little bit versus the new and the old and why you like it better.
I mean, so pretty much, I mean, in a remake, it does follow, like, the original. There is some changes, like, with characters and, like, just the storyline of plots. Like, this one's going to be a little longer than the original. And I feel like with this one, what I enjoyed about it is that it went into depth. Like, you learned a lot more. Like, there was so much material in this movie. And just, like, at the end of it, like the payoff scene, just the... I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it. I'm not going to spoil it for you, Devin. But just like that twist at the end, and then you're just like, wow. What I said in like our episode when we talked about it, for some reason, it just had me feeling some type of way in the theater after seeing it. And I didn't really feel that with the original.
Okay.
So.
Now, is it just because the original Suspiria is so old? I mean, that's before any of us were born.
I mean, yeah. I don't have a problem with it being... I mean, it came out in the early 70s.
77.
Mid-70s or whatever. No, that's not... That didn't bother me. I don't really care about the age of the film. I just felt like with this one, they went into more detail in that way, like... They explain more with like the characters. Like they were able to, they added more stuff to it, like how they did with the, like the dance scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Like how they connect like the dance scene to the killing scenes. I really enjoyed that a lot.
Mm. Spoiler.
Yeah, sorry, spoiler.
Sorry, Devin.
But it's worth it.
It's okay.
Devin has not seen the film for anyone else that didn't know that.
It's almost 3 hours, so it's waiting for the video release, but it'll be on Amazon Video next month. So there we go.
Yeah, I didn't spoil it too much, but it's still worth it.
I don't realize the spoilers. I talked to some people that didn't realize that was going on when it happened. Like they were like, wait, what? And then, you know, they go back and watch it again. It's like, oh shit, it's correlated. But anyway, so you prefer Luca, I'm going to mess up his last name, so I'm not going to try, version of Suspiria 2018. Yes. Brandon, you're up.
Okay, this is probably not going to be a popular opinion. I will take Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead over George Romero's. Now, all you zombie fans that are just like me, hear me out. One of the things I did like about the 2004 film was that you had a bigger cast. Now, make note, on the flip side, that means they can't focus on certain characters. But I had enough screen time with each character to get my feelings sorted out. And it wasn't extra. So I enjoyed that, because the main reason why I wanted to watch this movie in the first place is because it has fucking zombies in it. But I digress. Number 2, and this is kind of the thing for me that made me... like kind of fall in love with this movie. When I watched the original movie, if I'm not mistaken, they were all kind of trapped and screwed together for, I think it was like three or four months. I don't know. I don't know the exact time, but it was more than 1 month. While in the newer movie, it's about 1 month they were there. Because, I mean, I'll just be honest, so I like it. If I survive a zombie apocalypse for several months, I'm going to be asking for death at some point in time.
Well, I'm going to jump in too, because this is actually one of my picks. And I think that the change goes along, again, word of the day, the update, right? In modern society, there's no way that that would continue on that long. But in 78-ish, 77, 78, I think that malls were so new that it was easier to be like, hey, people would hang out there.
Right.
So I think that, like, the option was just based on the time. And I hate to refer to a mall as a technology, but it definitely was, like, a focal point in pop culture.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that over – with the 2004 film, it's over 1 month. So literally – I'm thinking 1 month time frame. I'm trapped. I'm in survival mode. There's a lot of shit that can happen in 1 month. And the movie painted that out perfectly with all the crap going on with each character.
Yeah, I think they really nailed it. Plus, the color palette of the whole film is, at the time, 2004, you weren't getting films like that in horror that were just like, hey, look at me, soak all this in. Yeah. I probably still watch Dawn of the Dead at least once every 2 months. Original DVD. I don't even watch it in Blu-ray. I think it's great at the technology that it was back then.
Right. But yeah, that's my number five pick is Dawn of the Dead.
All right. Devin, what's your number five pick?
Number five. I'm going to go with Piranha.
Piranha. Oh. Nice choice.
If you guys have ever seen the original, it's a little slow. It's an enjoyable film, but it's very slow. There are, and it's also such an such a over the top premise that the remake took advantage of that over the top premise and had fun with it, and created a movie that was very well aware of what it was, and exploited that in a good way, and it became a very, you know, big budget B movie that had fun.
And Ving Rhames were in both of the last two movies mentioned.
See, he's an underrated horror dude.
He's my person under the stairs.
Yeah.
So you prefer just the updated of the 1978 version. We're in the 70s. I guess we didn't like the 70s. Joe Dante, at the time, it was a great movie. I remember watching it when I was a kid, mistaking it for like a documentary or whatever my stupid kid mind thought. Like, piranhas were a threat in my life. And I think it had a sequel. I've never seen it, but I want to say that there was a Piranha 2.
There was.
Like Double D or Triple D or something like that.
No, I mean from the original.
Oh, Joseph from the original. Okay, sorry.
But yes, there was. No, I've never seen it. Brandon? James
Cameron.
Shut up.
Yep.
No, it's not. Really?
He directed Piranha 2, The Spawning.
No, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen it.
Everybody's looking it up right now.
Yes. Talk about mind blown.
Yeah.
Wow. Did not know that. Learn something new every day. Holy crap.
Maybe this is when he started writing Avatar.
Yeah. Yep. It was right before The Terminator.
Wow. But, you know, everyone starts somewhere. I'm always surprised when I look back at films and you see someone, it's like, oh, they're a real actor. And then you're like, why were they like the background cop in this film?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like Bruce Campbell in Maniac Cop. Like, a lot of people forget he's in that film. But Evil Dead wasn't that popular at the time, so, you know, he was just working.
Marissa Tomei in the Toxic Avenger.
Yes. There was someone else in Toxic Avenger that I just saw the other day.
Wasn't Jai White in like the third one or something?
Michael Jai White.
Yeah, Michael Jai White, sorry.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, so, you know, people got to work. which is awesome when you get to sit back and watch older movies and like, oh shit, they're in here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right, so round four. Ash, lay it on us.
Okay. My number four is 2010's I Spit on Your Grave.
What? That was mine too.
What?
Besties.
Twins. But yeah,
I Spit on Your Grave.
Yes.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't want to say I enjoyed the films, like the original and stuff. I mean, that's a hard film to get through. Doesn't sure. matter if it's the original, doesn't matter if it's the remake, the sequels, whatever. That's a hard film series to get through. But with this one, it was just brutal. Oh my God. Like, just some of the revenge scenes and that shit. Goodness gracious. That was brutal.
I should acknowledge that, you know, the 78 version, as far as I know, gets credited as the start of the rape revenge films or genre. I don't know who the director was. I've only seen that film maybe twice. I don't think this is a film people revisit all the time.
No.
It's like kind of like Cannibal Holocaust. You watch it to say you've seen it, and then most people are good. I don't think someone's sitting in their basement right now watching it for the 30th time.
Right. The original director is Mir Zarchi. Sorry if I butchered that name. But yeah.
I wouldn't know if you're wrong or right.
Yeah, to piggyback on Ash, I really like the I Spit on Your Grave remake. It's not easy to watch five guys gang rape a woman, and these are both the original film and the remake. The rape scenes are very graphic, but it felt more less exploitive in the remake. And her revenge was, I personally felt, much more brutal in the remake as well. Also, was much better acted as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, going forward, if we're going to have these rape revenge films where a bunch of guys are raping a woman, I would prefer to have a woman director or a woman writer actually tell that story, because it's very easy for these films to feel as if they're glorifying rape in a way. So that's just my own take.
It's kind of hard to say. The first one's definitely really, really super fucking gritty, right? There's definitely less laws back in the 70s as far as what was too far, either on set or just being filmed. Like, people kind of had to go too far for them to be like, hey, we need to put boundaries on this.
Yeah.
But I was really, really surprised, and I don't remember her name, but the original actress is coming back for the fourth film.
Camille Keaton, like, yes.
Yeah, so they're not redoing it, but they're continuing from the first film, I assume. And the mother and daughter have to go through this revenge situation together.
What's interesting is they filmed a sequel to the original I Spit on Your Grave thing in like 1988. Now, forget the title of it. I'll look it up. But they were filming it, and something happened with her and the director where she left the set. And they had, and the film is unfinished, but it's like this hard to find, pile of stock footage of this film. I'm actually interested in seeing that. It's a movie.
Well, I am now.
Savage Vengeance.
Yes. Yeah. It's the film that she won't talk about.
Yeah. Like, she went under like a different name too.
Mm-hmm.
So does this one address maybe how she got pregnant? I mean, I know you guys don't know, but I wonder if that was like the plot, and then they're continuing that plot.
Could be.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, enough of that rape revenge. Brandon, what's your pick?
Let me see. So for number four, I have The Hills Have Eyes.
Ooh, that almost made my list.
Now, there's one specific reason why. I saw this movie in theaters, right? I've never seen a horror movie that that goes into theaters that is that just gritty and just horrible and just bloody and just raw. It's totally raw. And of course, you know, after I watched the new one and then I watched the original, which I think was 1977, Wes Craven.
Yeah.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, like, still, even for its time, being it's 1977, there was still, like, a lot of blood and stuff like that. But once again, the remake takes it to a whole new level. So, yeah, my number four is The Hills Have Eyes.
I agree. I like the original, but it was definitely a moment of, or when the new one came out, like, 05 or 06, when that hit, like, I was already a fan of Alexandre Aja, or Aja, however you say his name, because he was the same director from High Tension. I don't know how you say it in French.
Oh,
and he also did. Yeah, and I want to say he did one of the Piranhas, maybe the sequel or the. Devin, you can correct me, but I forget who did it.
Yeah, I think he did the actual remake. I forget about that.
So I was already a fan of his work going into it. And yes, I think clearly we have something where we didn't like the 70s. That's a brewing here. So I'll hit you guys with another 70s favorite, and it might be controversial, but hear me out. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm ready as a
woman. I'm holding my breath.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Huh? I agree.
Ironically enough, that was my number three.
Of Psycho, 1960, by Alfred Hitchcock. For everyone that doesn't know, Ed Gein was a real serial killer, and he's had multiple interpretations throughout life. Most notably, Norman Bates, Leatherface, and Silence with Lambs, Hannibal Lecter. So my version of him that I like the best is Toby Hopper's 74 masterpiece.
Yeah. So you look at Texas Chainsaw Massacre as a remake of Psycho?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same character. It's reimagined.
I haven't heard that take before. I kind of like that.
I mean, there's not really another character where that can be held true for, but Leatherface and Norman Bates systematically are the same person. It's just someone else came out with a different story to tell his story. Okay. So that's my number four pick. Huh. Back to you, Ash.
You got me thinking now. I'm like, huh? So number three is 2009 Sorority Row. So the original is called The House on Sorority Row, and pretty much sorority sisters, they play a prank that goes wrong. So in this one, you have like Rumor Willis in it, Carrie Fisher, you have Leah Pipes, all of them. And with this one, I mean, it's updated. I like how it's like in that time, 2009. I like how it's like a whole who's who, like who's doing this, like what's going on, who knows about their secret. Because only the sisters, among the sisters, they know like what happened with the prank.
I'm not 100% familiar. Is this the one with Audrina Patronage?
Yeah, she was in it for like 5 minutes.
So I've seen this only once, but the one scene that I guess I do remember is that when she's pretending to be dead and Homeboy just switches to we gotta get rid of the body mode and just fucking tire irons her to the chest.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, whose train of thought is that?
Yeah.
That's all I really remember from it, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's a really enjoyable film. I do like it. I prefer it more than the original. I mean, the original, you have to give it props. But I like
how... Yeah, I'm a fan of the original.
Yeah, I like how this one had, like, its own little spin to it, and I really like the characters and just everything about it. I really enjoyed this one.
Fair enough. Maybe I'll give it a rewatch this month.
It's on Shudder.
Then I'll definitely give it a rewatch this month. Brandon, what's your number three pick?
My number three pick, which, you know, people are going to disagree with me because it's classic. If you haven't seen this movie, I'm going to be very upset. Devin. but it's going to be the remake.
Call it a remake, a classic. That's bold.
Yes. I'm saying the movie itself is a classic. The whole series is a classic. Oh, okay. Talking about Evil Dead, if you didn't catch that.
Oh, I did not. But you know what? That is on my list as well.
And that's my number three. I enjoyed the remake that was done by Alvarez in 2013.
That's on my list. Sorry.
and here's why. The original trilogy that was made by Sam Raimi, I think.
81.
Yes. It's back to 81. The original, I mean, it's phenomenal. You, once again, watch it if you haven't. But then if you compare that to the new one, the one thing that I like about it, even though a lot of people like it shouldn't be like that, is the fact that you have so much humor underneath all this just gore and horridness and we're all going to fucking die. And, like, you feel so bleak that you can't help but start laughing at your situation. I'm like, if I was in that situation, I would be doing the exact same thing. But then you also have to look at how strong Alvarez's cast is. Mm-hmm. That is a super, super strong cast. I fell in love with them. And that was one of the things where I was like, okay, that's one of the things I can say is better than the original, in my opinion.
I'm going to have to steal a my boo moment from you. Jessica Lucas, I was obsessed with during this time. Yes. She never turned into like a mainstream actress, but I was very happy she was in this. I enjoyed Cloverfield. I enjoyed The Covenant. I think she was on a TV show. I can't think of the name right now, but I enjoyed it. She's currently on Gotham.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Oh, yes.
That's all I have to say about Evil Dead. Everything else, I agree with you on it.
Are you okay, Brandon? I agree with.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh, I just thought about that. I was like, yes. Oh God. Yes.
I agree with you, Brandon. I do prefer the new Evil Dead to the original. The only reason I didn't put it on my list is just in my mind, it's more of a sequel than a remake. But I fully agree with you on that.
Yeah, it was kind of, this beat out one other thing for me, but it's like, I thought it was one of those things where I needed to have it on the list and make it be known that sometimes it's okay if the next one is better than the first one. It's okay.
Yes, both are classics. I just want to say that. Both are classics.
My number three is a remake of Maniac from 1980.
Sorry.
I prefer the remake over the original. And I think this is a classic example of a remake done right, because it still honors the spirit of the original film, but it has its own identity. It's not a carbon copy version of the original. The original took place in 1980 in New York City. It was very dark and very gritty. The killer is a heavyset guy with long greasy hair. In the remake, we're in modern day Los Angeles. It's much more bright. You have a slight Elijah Wood doing the killing, which is completely different from the original film. Also, the new film puts you in the POV of the killer. So the killing scenes are much more intense because you're already building the suspense. So I thoroughly enjoyed the Maniac remake. Mm-hmm.
I did as well, and that was another choice where I was like, do I put this on the list or not? So I'm glad that you did. I love that version of it. Again, that might be something to throw on the list to revisit again. Don Cheadle's in that too, which the only thing I knew about him at the time was Boogie Nights. So it was weird for me to see him in such a different role. For me, the most immediate movie afterwards that I saw him in.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was. Oh, he was the Maniac. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was the black guy.
Okay.
That was it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think he was the only black person in that movie. Like, character.
Okay.
And Zooey Deschanel was in there, too. She had, like, a smaller role, but she was in there.
Oh, yeah, I need to revisit this film. It's been, like, a year or two since I've watched it.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
And fun little fact now, and I don't know the name of it, but Elijah Wood started his own horror production company. I didn't realize it until I saw Cooties. His production company produced that.
I'm sure he's done other things, Elijah Wood. Like, he's just, he could do anything.
Yeah.
And I love, like, he could play, like, the creepy person perfectly.
Yeah.
He's just awesome. And he's cute.
Even though he was in the Lord of the Rings films.
Let's not
start with that. No, we're not doing this today. We're not doing this today. Damn it, Devin.
Did Jordan Medlam go on to do anything else that you guys can think of? Is that the right director? Jordan something. I could have the last name wrong. But I don't remember if he's done anything that I notable as that. I'm going to go by the silence that I'm probably right.
You are right, for me at least.
Okay, well then I'll just get into my number three pick, which is, I don't know, I feel like I'm the only one that feels this way, or maybe the only one that even watches it, but Chuck Russell's 1988, my opinion, masterpiece, The Blob, remake of the 1958 mm-hmm. version. And I think this is just a case, clear-cut case of, it's a sci-fi movie that benefited from 30 years progress of technology.
Yeah.
At the time, I wasn't aware of it as a kid, but he also directed one of my favorite installments of Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 3, The Dream Warriors.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
That's all I have to say about that.
The stars of Pre-Saw, Shawnee Smith, too.
Oh, yes, who was my absolute crush back then. I don't even know how age-appropriate that was or not, but she...
Dang. You good? You need a moment? You sounded like me.
Horrible haircut and all. She was... I thought she was shit.
I mean, she could get it.
Exactly. Brandon, you're number two.
Okay. Oh. Now, for this, it was a little... Okay, not a little. It was extremely difficult just because of... I had a lot of options for number two. For number two, I'm going to go ahead and say Fright Night.
The 2010 version?
Yeah.
I gotta hear this.
Now, the reason why it was better is for a horrible reason.
All right.
But... still, it made me happy. The CGI in it was kind of meh, but the new one that they came out with, I think it was Craig Gillespie. I don't know his last name. I know his first name's Craig. Anyways, it was just kind of, it made me laugh a lot. Which, you know, shouldn't happen in a horror movie, but then you, like, look at the situation, the whole adventure of it. You have a whole bunch of freaking younger kids. It's supposed to be lighthearted because it's literally like a teenage horror movie in a way. That's what I'm trying to say. Jesus. So it's kind of supposed to be like a little lighthearted. The acting, there's some people where I say, man, and there's other people where I'm like, that was a good choice. I mean, it has Dave Franco in it. I love Dave Franco. Mm-hmm. And I think David Tennant's in it, too. But, I mean,
yeah, the doctor.
Yeah, and the movie itself is good. Both movies are great, but I feel like the newer one was way more lighthearted. It was like that teen horror movie.
I mean, it had some good players in it. You know, Anton Yelich, or however you say his last name, rest in peace. Colin Farrell, Toni Collette was the mother. If you're saying that director's name, I want to say he went on to direct I, Tonya. Craig Gillespie?
Yeah, I don't know how to say his name.
Yeah, he directed I, Tonya, so he's capable of some stuff. And there was a small cameo of Lisa Loeb in that film.
What?
I watched it twice. So I remember a fair amount of it, but it just, it for me, it did not live up to replacing. But that's okay.
It's not supposed to replace. It's a remake.
Oh, look at you.
Sorry, I had to flex a little bit.
No worries. Anyone else?
Nope.
Remember the film? Watch it?
I liked it.
I like it.
Anton Yelchin, though. Sorry, I loved him.
Do I make it? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
I liked most of his projects that he was in. He was a pretty good actor, and I believe he like died by a weird, like he ran over himself with his car on accident. Yeah. So it's kind of sad the way he met his demise. You know what? There's a handful of people I could tell you how they died, and I don't know why. But I loved him in The Green Room.
Yes, such a good movie.
If you guys haven't seen that, that's an awesome film.
I haven't seen it yet. I started watching it, but I turned it off halfway through.
Okay.
Jeez, not that I didn't like it. Called not finishing movies.
No, there was a baby in the room, and I didn't want the baby to see like Nazi imagery and murders and stuff. So that's how I'll watch this later.
Oh, that's responsible. That's acceptable.
That's fair. I'm not mad anymore.
All right, Devin, you're number two.
Oh man. Okay. My number two is The Crazies, which is a remake of the George Romero film from the 70s. I only saw the original once. I don't remember a lot. It was pretty unmemorable. It didn't stick with me. The remake was very, very good. Well-acted Timothy Olyphant is such a strong actor. It also had a lot more suspense in the remake as well. And, you're not sure when someone is turning over to the dark side, so it really played with your mind in that way as well. I really, really enjoy The Crazies.
You know, to be honest, I completely forgot about it. That is a, I think, fantastic film. I wouldn't even know of the original The Crazies. Like, that was definitely a remake that when I saw it, I found out that there was an original.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never saw George Romero's. I'm sure he doesn't watch it or didn't watch it.
No.
It is not a good film.
No, it's not memorable at all.
Well, then that brings us down to the number one.
Well, my number one was already named, so I'm going to move down to my number two, which is Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Ooh!
Good night, y'all.
Tune in next week.
Y'all about to make me have a coughing attack. Hold on. No. Okay.
All right, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Do we have to?
Rob Zombie's 07.
No, okay. Come on. Okay. This is a hard list for me to put together, okay? I love the original. Don't get me wrong. I love the original. I'm thankful for it, okay? I love it. Rob Zombie, I know this was like a lot of like negative feedback from a lot of people. They did not like how they went back to like his childhood and like all the crap that he went through. Like, I know a lot of people did not like that, but I did. I love, like, seeing the backstory of Michael Myers and, like, what made him click and, like, his home life and everything. That was one of my favorite things about this film. I'm sorry. And the kills were more brutal. And then I remember when the trailers came out and it creeped me out. And Michael Myers usually doesn't creep me out, but the trailers for some reason freaked me out.
I'm hurting right now.
Get over it.
It's a safe place. It's fine. I think everyone knows I'm a huge Halloween fan. This is not one of those that make it in that box for me. But it's interesting for all of us to learn something today.
I mean, like I said,
Rob Zombie has one fan.
Like I
said, I will say I like Tyler Mane.
Yeah. I do enjoy the original. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But I just think, like, with this one, I love the backstory of it. Not a lot of people didn't care for it, but I loved it. And it actually made me sympathize with him. Like, I actually felt bad for him.
I like Halloween 2, Rob Zombie, over 07 incarnation. I only like Tyler Mane as Sabretooth for all you deep cut Fox Marvel fans. I just think for me it was just too jarring to see a fucking jacked 6'7" however tall Tyler Mane is Michael Myers.
I think Rob Zombie is a great director, he's a great visualist, but as far as writing an actual script, he should outsource that job to someone who's more capable. That's all.
We love that you love Friday Part 5 as well.
It's funny.
Thank you.
Along with that, there is quite a few great people in there. Brad Dourif's in there. Michael McDowell. Of course, Sherry Moon Zombie has to be in it because she's in all of his films. Daniel, I can't remember Harris. If Kier's in this one or if he's in the second one. Oh, yeah, who? Danielle Harris comes back. Udo Kier or Udo, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but
he's struggling.
Ever. Like, he's in Blade, he's in Ass to Mouth, what's that? Human Centipede, he's in Downsizing. I mean, if you Google him, you'll see. He was in Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich.
Oh, okay. He said Ass to Mouth. I'm sorry.
I couldn't think of the name. Brandon, it's up to you.
All right. My numero uno pico for this game out is going to be 13 Ghosts.
Oh, good choice.
Uh-huh.
And I will just be 100% honest and real. It's just better. It really is just better. Everything was way more terrifying. It's just better in general.
So the original, for those who don't know, is a William Castle film somewhere in the 60s. The number escapes me. But William Castle was known for being the horror hype man. He would build concepts on nothing just to get butts in the seats. He was also one of those people that had the, 4D, whatever we call it now. XD is what we call it now. He was like the pioneer of that. Immersive, the seats move, they buzz you, something's going to happen in the theater, ghosts are coming out. That's what he's most well known for. So I think the original, while it was good at its time, and some of the, you could tell like they're just overlaying film on top of film, but it's fine. You got to get the job done, and practical effects sometimes are the best. But I agree with you, Brandon, and it's my long-winded point I'm trying to make, is that I think that this is another case of where technology just really highlighted the film of what it could be. Devin, you're number one.
Okay, so mine is a little bit of a cheat because I have not seen the original, but I know my pick is better than the original, and that's John Carpenter's The Thing.
Shut up!
Hear you. Is that your number one, sir?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The 1951, The Thing from Another World, is the original, which I've only seen twice. But I'll be quiet.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way
that
it's better than... There's no way the original is better than a remake in this case. This is a film that's almost 40 years old, but it still really holds up. The music is one of his best scores. The special effects are still effective. Even when they did the prequel in 2011, if you're comparing the special effects from the 2011 prequel to the 1982 original, the original still beats the prequel. It's such a good movie, and I think John Carpenter has gone on record as saying this is his best movie.
Yeah, I think I recently watched the 2011 version. First, and then watch the 1981-82 version. And yes, I think it's a perfect companion piece. When it released in theaters, it wasn't received as that way. And people were kind of lost and was like, this sucks. But yeah, the Hardcore fans definitely got it.
I think people thought it was a remake. Doesn't help that it has the same exact title of the first one. But yeah, I
have yet to see the prequel.
It has Mary Elizabeth Winstead in it.
Yeah. Mary Elizabeth Winstead. She also played Ramona in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. That's my crush for the day. Thank you.
An Edgar Wright film. I enjoyed that. I own it. I would love it if there was a sequel one day. I never read the comic though, so I'm a halfway fan.
Read it. It's amazing.
All right. Well, then that does it. So around here, I think we like to end every show with a little teensy weensy little game. This week, it's a complete mystery.
No.
Well, guess what? It's happening. Ash, I believe you said your number one choice was The Evil Dead.
See,
it's time for another round of Fuck, Marry, Kill. So, Ash, Fuck, Marry, Kill, top three billed actors in the film were Jane Levy, Shiloh Fernandez, and Lou Taylor Pettucci.
Say that last name again.
Lou Taylor.
All right. I will kill Lou.
Damn.
Mary Jane and screw Shiloh.
All Shiloh choices. I think that I would have probably gone the same route. To break it up a little, we're gonna go to Devin. 1982, The Thing. We have MacReady himself, Kurt Russell, Wilford Brimley.
Oh man. How are you gonna say that?
T.K. Carter. Who I was a fan of T.K. Carter. He's a mannequin, right? No, that wasn't T.K.
No, it's me.
He was a signing women. That's what he was on.
Wilford Brimley, though? Man. I mean, kill him.
Hey, he was in Cocoon.
I mean, yeah, but kill him. Fuck T.K. and Mary Kurt.
And I'm actually having a mental fart, Brand. What's your number one film?
13 Ghosts.
Damn it, and we even talked about William Castle.
Yeah, where were you?
Not taking notes. Okay, so the 2001 film, 13 Ghosts, starring Tony Shalhoub. Someone want to help me out? He played Monk. So, Monk. Imbeth Davis. Shannon
Elizabeth. Sorry.
No, she's not top three. And Matthew Lillard. I can tell you who I want to fuck right now. It's Matthew. Sorry to steal your thunder. Go ahead.
Hold on. Shannon Elizabeth isn't on the list? I was so ready.
Right.
Nope. Top three build only, folks.
That's booty.
She probably has only done American Pie at that point.
And that's why I want her. Sorry.
That's how I feel too. So, as much as it hurts me, I'm going to go ahead and kill Monk.
Good choice.
I'm going to go ahead and bust cheeks with Imbeth Jean Davids. And then I'm going to go ahead and be like, I'm sorry, I have to go back to my husband, Matthew Lillard. See, that was easy. If we said Shannon Elizabeth, it would have been a little bit more difficult.
You know, if this was Army of Darkness, I would take Imbeth in the sack. That whole Elizabethan type of Renaissance thing she had going on. I was digging that back in the house too.
I'm sorry. I got excited.
Whoa there.
All right. For the thing, just to mix things up a little bit, I really want to go against your choices. but I don't know if I can.
I mean, if you want to fuck Wilford Brimley, that's, you know.
But is it, like, passionate hate-fucking? Like, I'm going to tear you up, old man?
Oh.
Well, I mean, you got to make it, like, fun. Like, I think Wilford Brimley back in the day was probably into some shit. like well before I knew him as the nice, normal man. I want Wilford Brimley like in his 40s.
Let me see if I can find a picture of that. let me Google a picture of that first.
But if I have to take him at 1982, I guess maybe I'm fucking TK Carter.
Yeah,
that's solid. Damn it! I gotta kill Wilford. Sorry, I'm married Kurt Russell. I can put those eyes all day.
A young Wilford Brimley was also unsavory. So yeah, we'll still kill him.
I tried to make it work, but I couldn't get past it. So that is our picks. Comment on some type of social media. You know what? Maybe Ash will put something up on Facebook for our listeners to chime in on their picks. I'll put something in the show notes for everyone. But that about does it, other for everyone's favorite round of Plug Yourself. Ash, what you got going on?
You can find me on Twitter. Ash2Ashes. That's Ash, the number 2, Ashes. I didn't want to, like, toot my own horn or anything, but okay. The Horror Movie Podcast, we were discussing about Us, was officially released today. Yay. So give that a listen. Comment. Give me some feedback. It was an awesome episode, and the guys on that show were awesome. And also, Ashley Blackwell from Horror Noir was also a guest on that show. So that was awesome.
So in case everyone listening at home doesn't know what today is when Horror Movie Podcast episode 171. That was much. Devin, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at I Need You Jesse. You can also find me on the web at ineedyoujesse.com.
Brandon?
Oh, it's my turn to speak now. I'm just playing with y'all. So I'm on Twitter, BXC513. However, my main thing I'm doing besides, you know, slowly dying every day and watching horror movies is I'm streaming, as always, at twitch.tv/darkmarine92. I play a lot of stuff. Let's say you're a Disney fan like some people are. Play Kingdom Hearts. That's fun. But I'll probably be working on playing Claire's story of in Resident Evil 2. So come check that out. Join in. Talk shit. Whatever you want to do. Have a good time.
Drink some apple juice.
And as always,
drink all that.
Find me on social medias at Gray himself, G-R-A-E himself on all social medias. For everyone listening at home, we have switched our podcast feed. If you are having trouble listening to the show, that is why. I'll put a new feed link in the description for you guys that are reading that. So you can keep following us. Say goodnight, folks.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Deuces.
Mommy made me mash my M&M's. Oh, my.